I guess I was working for other people, and I think I always had it in my head that I wanted to work for myself. And I was a bit, I was sick of getting told no. I had ideas and I wanted to make, implement changes and those sorts of things.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, I'm speaking with Janet Durrant, property manager and director of Top Shelf Asset Management, as she guides us through her journey that's taken her all around Australia, and how she followed in her parents' footsteps in property management while building her property portfolio. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Durrant is the director of Top Shelf Asset Management, where she and her team manage over 100 properties.
I guess I was working for other people, and I think I always had it in my head that I wanted to work for myself. And I was a bit, I was sick of getting told no. I had ideas and I wanted to make, implement changes and those sorts of things. And, you know, the bosses of the company were either not into it or it was restrictive. So I guess I thought, stuff this, I'll do it myself.
Making time to develop her business and look after her clients is a daily challenge that keeps Durrant busy.
Every day is really different. The life of a property manager, I'm still at the stage of the business where I'm both working in it and on it. So I do all the day-to-day tasks of a property manager, from rent arrears, lease renewals, maintenance requests, advertising and leasing properties and all of that sort of stuff. But then I also do the business side of things, the business development, where I'm going out and getting new business, as well as marketing and business planning and bookkeeping and all of those fun jobs as well.
Although the company is relatively new, her hard work has already resulted in success.
Ever since July, I think I've just got to a stage where I don't really do any marketing. It's all referral based. And I think I've just got to a stage where I've got enough clients. People are talking about me. People are thinking of me, referring me on. And yeah, it's just really started to ramp up, which is great.
Moving around in her childhood, Durrant got to live all over Australia before settling in Western Australia.
We, as a family, moved around a lot. I was actually born in Sydney, and my dad was in the Navy, so we kind of went Sydney, Melbourne, Sydney, over to Perth, back to Adelaide, where Dad got out of the Navy. We did actually settle in Adelaide for 12 months. Dad said to Mum, this is where we're going to be for the rest of our life. And then he left the Navy and we moved. I think it was even 11 months later after being there. So then we moved up to Exmouth in WA, which was a pretty cool place to spend some of my primary years. Then we moved down to Perth. Then Mum and Dad kind of moved up to Leinster, which is northeast of Kalgoorlie, a closed mining town. And my brother and I went to boarding school in Perth from the age of 12.
While she is still based in Perth, Durrant has done her fair share of her own solo travelling.
Since high school years, I have had a couple of stints where when I was 18, turning 19, I moved to London for a couple of years. I did the typical Aussie go over, get your two-year visa, be a nanny, live in with the family, travel Europe. And then I came back here, and then I've done a two-year stint up in Broome, Western Australia as well. So I think my parents kind of instilled in me the moving around as well. But I'm pretty settled in Perth now. This is me for the good foreseeable future, I reckon, definitely, yeah.
Having family in the property managing business gave Durrant the exposure that would lead to her establishing her career as a property manager.
So I left school and I went straight into uni. To be honest, it probably wasn't the best decision for me. I wasn't ready to go, or study's just not really my thing. So I started my Bachelor of Business at uni. While I was at uni, I was actually, my mum was a property manager, so I was actually also working, showing houses, like vacant properties for the rental property company that she worked for. I didn't do so well at uni. I was too busy having a good time, to be honest, than actually concentrating on my studies. So I managed to pass the important ones, accounting and economics, kind of into my debits and my credits and my supply and demand, but everything else just wasn't really, really my thing. So that's when I kind of decided uni wasn't for me. I deferred and I took off to London for 2 years.
While the expiry of her visa pushed her to return to Australia, Darren was ready to plan for her future.
So you can only get a 2-year visa in the situation that I was in, doing nannying. But I think it was time for me. I was having a really good time over there, but I was ready to kind of start working and I guess preparing for my future, putting some money away and that sort of stuff. Get a bit serious about life.
Her hard work and motivation helped Darren climb the corporate ladder when she returned to Australia and has been instilled in her from her adolescence.
So I went straight into property management. I worked for a company where I kind of got a property management assistant role, which I very quickly moved up to property manager, and then eventually moving to manage the department for them in a sort of a short period of time. But I've done a lot of other, I reckon I've probably been working since I was about 13. Because we went to boarding school, mum and dad moved to Leinster when we were already at the schools that we were going to be boarding at. So we didn't really have any, you know, friends, or didn't go to school in Leinster. So we didn't know a lot of people when, like, school holiday time when we would go back up there. So we, brother and I, we just basically worked on our school holidays, just started, whether or not it was waitressing or kitchen hand, or I think we even cleaned motel rooms. Like, we just,
wow,
just worked at a range of things. I think at that stage it was, you know, $5 an hour.
She also found inspiration to enter property management from her dad's own career path.
The dad got out of the Navy. He's gone and worked for other companies that, you know, Australian Defence Force or mining companies. So when we moved to Leinster, he was the town manager. So it was a closed mining town, and so you couldn't live there unless you worked there, and so all the housing was provided. So I guess from that point of view, it was a bit of a property manager of the town as well. So he gave accommodation to people. He did the maintenance on the accommodation. Well, he didn't personally, but he organised the maintenance on the accommodation and all of that sort of stuff. And now he kind of lectures in maintenance planning.
Motivation from co-workers and a booming housing market gave Darren the idea to begin her own investing portfolio.
Not long after I started as the property management assistant, I originally got back from London and I was like, all right, I'm just going to work hard for 6 months and then I'm going to take off to Canada. But then I started working with the company that I worked for, it was a project marketing company. So we would sell the big developments for developers. And I would then be the property manager for, say, 30 out of the 80 in the building or something like that. So I'd have to go in and canvass for the new managements and lease them all out. And lots of the people that I worked with, they were all buying in these complexes. And I think Perth at this stage was really booming, or was it 2006 about? And all these guys were buying off the plan, and it was settling a couple of years later, and they had a whole heap of equity in it, and they were all really encouraging on me also getting into property investing. So I kind of just got it in my head that I could do this too.
Coming up after the break, and Darren continues to take us through the challenges she has faced in her investing journey.
Put an offer in and got accepted, and then I went through the finance process. And my finance actually got declined, which was mortifying.
As well as how her timing and hard work gave her her great successes.
And this guy had obviously, he'd bought it at the peak of the market, started to renovate it, ran out of money. It was a bit of a shell. So I ended up getting it at a really good price.
And that's next. I'm Taran Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners. I just wanted to let you know about the podcast show notes I've created for you that you can download at freepropertyresource.com. Inside these show notes, I've included a full summary, details of the resources recommended, plus much, much more. Just go to freepropertyresource.com to grab it now. It's free and it'll make the rest of the episode so much more impactful. Again, that's freepropertyresource.com. Now back to the show. Even with the help of government grants, she still had to overcome the challenges of buying in a seller's market.
So I started looking around for a property to buy. The first home buyer's grant was still around at that stage. I think it was $7,000. So I knew that after speaking to a mortgage broker that my budget that the banks would lend me was about $170,000, I think, at that time of year. I knew that that was a little bit over and above my my personal budget in what I wanted to spend. I was just looking around, but because it was booming, I was going to home opens and literally there was 10 people at the home open. Three of them were writing up offers on the dining room table right there and then at the first home open for, you know, 30 grand more than what the asking price was.
Despite the competition, Darren was able to finally get her start in property investing.
But I ended up looking at a few different places, some which I'm actually really glad now that I didn't get in terms of didn't end up putting in an offer or my offer wasn't accepted. And my mum was just talking to a friend of hers who happened to say that her dad had a one-bedroom unit sitting vacant. It had been sitting vacant for 2 years. So it wasn't income producing for them and he really wanted to sell up and go travelling. So we organised for me to go and have a look at that place and to be honest, I kind of turned my nose up at it to start off with until I realised that, you know, your first place doesn't necessarily have to be your forever home. I managed to get my first place when it didn't go on to the sales market. So I had no, I wasn't competing with other people. We ended up doing it privately. I got it valued. The valuation came in at, I think it was 115 to 130,000 for the property. So I ended up offering them 130,000, the top end of the valuation, knowing full well that if it went to the market, it'd probably get 160,000 just because of the way that the market was going and that there was so much competition. I got it at the 130, which I was stoked for. I think it ended up being actually a really good outcome for both of us because they just wanted a hassle-free sort of transaction. I obviously got a good deal in the current market that was working out. I mean, he'd owned it for, I don't know, 20 years or so. So
yeah, wow, okay. So can you just explain to us what type of property was this?
So it's a one bedroom apartment, unit flat, you'd probably call it. It's 47 square metres and it's kind of like, it is more of a bed sit really because you have to go through the bedroom to get to the bathroom and it's all kind of just, it's on the top floor of a block of 42 units on a really big bit of land. So it's in a suburb called Wembley, which is not far from the CBD. Wembley has a mixture of million-dollar houses, and it has this particular strip, Herdsman Parade, which has a number of unit blocks on them, which are very multicultural and good renters.
After breaking into the market, Durrant faced challenges of a different kind as she expanded her portfolio.
I think my worst investing moment was when I tried to buy my fifth house. tried to buy being the operative word. I was living in Broome at the time and just scaling the realestate.com like I did on a daily basis, looking for the next one that I wanted to buy. And I came across one in Kalgoorlie, actually. And I think it was about $295,000 that it was selling for, with a guaranteed grow or government lease. So, you know, teachers, polices, those sorts of things would have been renting it for about, I think it's $450 a week was the rental income on that, which I... Yeah, I was looking at it and I was going, this is too good to be true. What, like, why is that, you know, why is that like that? There must be a catch. But anyway, I put an offer in and got accepted, and then I went through the finance process. And my finance actually got declined, which was mortifying for me. I was just like, oh, my gosh, that's not cool at all. My finance got declined because I had a, a disagreement with a telco company. And I, instead of dealing with it and sorting it out and paying the bill or negotiating to pay the bill, etc., I forgot about it. And unfortunately, that put a black dot against my credit history. So that was a bit mortifying to find that out. Because I had moved, I wasn't getting, you know, the notifications and those sorts of things, to realise that, yeah, to go through the finance process. And they were like, oh, you've got a black dot against your name. I was like, oh, my gosh, that is not good at all.
Although she was able to work around her credit, other financial deterrents proved to have a silver lining.
Like, I ended up doing a stat deck and explaining the situation and all of those sorts of things. But I didn't quite have 20% deposit or equity. So it ended up being that I think this is when they kind of started tightening up the rules on lending as well. So it was getting a little bit harder to get money as it is. But it ended up being I could have got the finance, but I would have had to pay mortgage lending insurance, which at that point in time, I was a bit like, no, that's not, you know, as you know, it's something that protects the bank. It doesn't protect you like some people might think that it does. It's a one-off fee, I guess. So in saying that, I decided not to go down that road, and I wasn't able to go ahead with the purchase. But it actually ended up being a blessing in disguise, given that the downturn in the WA property market, and I've since looked up those properties, which have definitely dropped in value, as well as the rental return has significantly gone down as well. So although it was my worst investing moment, realising that I couldn't get finance for something, it actually probably turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
Pushing her boundaries and capitalising on a falling property market led Durrant to realise her potential as an investor.
It was probably when I bought my third property. I was living in Broome at the time, and something came up in the same complex that I already had property in. And this guy had obviously, he'd bought it at the peak of the market, started to renovate it, ran out of money. It was a bit of a shell. So I ended up getting it at a really good price. I think he probably purchased it at about $240,000. And I got it for $152,000, I think it was, from him. I bought it sight unseen. So knowing, I was like, oh, wow, I can do that. I didn't think I could let go and not do something before I actually spent that amount of money on it. And then I flew back down to Perth, and I gutted the property myself, and then project managed the the renovation from up in Broome after being down there and checking it all out. So that kind of for me was a bit like, oh, I can actually do this. You know, you can actually buy properties under market value. You can actually do a renovation and add value to it and then rent it out and have a good income producing asset, I guess.
What was the highlight of her experience?
I got the jackhammer. I got the.
She actually went in there and how, that must have been so much fun.
It was. It was so much fun, you know, getting all the tiles off the walls, ripping out the kitchen cupboards and those sorts of things. It was, it was a lot of fun. My big boots and, just went in and gutted it. I guess because that's what costs you a lot of money in renovations is the labour. So that sort of thing. Although probably... in future I'd probably just pay people to do renovations. It was a really great experience for me just to get in there and get my hands dirty and do it.
Looking to the future, Darren has begun the long process of returning to investing and focusing on her finances.
I haven't gone for another home loan, so I haven't purchased anything after that because I've then changed into being self-employed. So my focus has actually been on my business and getting that up and running. So I'm in a bit of a position now where I'm about to start looking at investing in property again. So I'm going through the processes of getting all of that in order. So, you know, you're doing all the things that the banks want you to do at the moment. You know, they print off 6 months of your bank statements and all of that sort of stuff. So just, you know, curbing your spending and making sure that you've got $0 on your credit card and all your mortgages are in front and you're up to date with all of them and all of that sort of stuff. So
inspired by this story and what Janet Darren is excited about today, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory Podcast, where we'll talk about how timing and taking advantage of the changing market is key to a successful strategy.
I think if you can put yourself in a position where you can ride through those downturns and possibly even buying in those downturns rather than when everyone else is freaking out and selling, I think that can go a long way in your investment journey.
The importance of maintaining mental health as an investor.
About looking after your mind and just making sure that you're looking after your mental health as well, just by doing simple things.
And that's next time on a future episode of Property Investory Podcast. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 04998810 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 04998810 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.